Get your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll read verses 13 through 21 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. 1 John 4, verses 13 through 21. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And let's pray. Father, you sure have been good to us. God, it is so true. We have the ability to love because you loved us first. And God, I pray that you'd help us today. Would you please be able to do what I cannot? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every heart and mind? Would you help us to please you? Would you help us to learn? And may we yield to you as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the ending of summer and the winding down of what we call the vacation season. And I'm glad, just so you know. I'm not against vacations. Matter of fact, I am for families taking vacations, just so you know. One reason is this. I think if you go on vacation, go to somewhere else to go to church, you find out how good you got it here at Grace. Amen? I really believe that. Another reason is I think it's important for families to go new places and have fun and enjoy things and build some sweet memories. I was thinking this week about some vacations that my family has been on. The first vacation I remember, I should say, I probably had been on others, but I must have been about 4 or 5 years old, and my aunt and uncle and their two kids, my grandma and grandpa, and my mom and dad, and my brother and I went to, I think it was near the Outer Banks of North Carolina, what was it? Harker's Island. I don't know. It was out in somewhere in North Carolina is all I know. And I was sitting in my office, and I was reliving some of the memories. Now, you got to realize this is over 40 years ago. Shut up. And it was a long time. Yeah, but I was barely able to remember it, Brother Hawkins. And it's not because it was so long ago. It's because I was so little. Okay? 40 years ago, you were still old. Ooh. You saw that one coming, didn't you? Wait a minute. We had rented this is a big island there, and we were on a house that was right off the beach there. And I remember we were going to go fishing. Well, I don't know what happened, but one time, and it was about 300 degrees outside, you know, one of those kind of days, somebody had gotten bait for fishing in the ocean, squid and stuff, but they put it under the porch. So the whole house smelled like rotting squid. And I mean, I would have rather had a rotten skunk than that stuff. I mean, it was bad. It was in your clothes. I mean, everything. I mean, you just couldn't get rid of the smell. So precious memories, how it lingered. Amen. I remember we one of the kids, I don't remember who it was, I don't think it was me, though it would not have been above me, we were practicing our casting in the house. And my grandfather was sitting there, and somebody went like this, and they hooked his eyelid. We literally had to pull his eyelid out and take that hook out of there. You had to know my grandpa. He's half cussing and half laughing the whole time. God bless him. But I remember that. I remember my brother and my dad were out fishing, and we were all out fishing, but they caught, we don't even know what it was. They called it a wharf toad. It was some kind of fish that had, I mean, like baby teeth in its mouth. And it bit somebody's finger out there. And all. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I remember that. And I probably shouldn't say this. My mom's going to laugh her head off when I say this. And it's not about her. But I remember, you know, when you're only that tall, I don't know how big the waves were, but they seemed like they were 20 foot tall. You know, I had never seen the ocean before. I didn't know water moved like that. And we were out there. My grandpa's out there. And my grandfather was probably at that time, I'm guessing probably near 60 years old or better. He's standing out there. And he was one of those happy-go-lucky, jolly kind of guys. Not quite as big as Brother Pop, but pretty close. He's standing out in the ocean about knee-deep in water. And all of a sudden, the wave comes by. And Grandpa's gone. I mean, it just totally knocked him off his feet, and he was gone. We couldn't find him. All of a sudden, he come up spitting and sputtering, and he was laughing. He wasn't hurt. He was just laughing because he'd never had a wave big enough to knock him over before. And we were laughing at that. And I remember specifically one thing. It was so hot that you couldn't walk in the sand without having something on your feet. I mean, we were blistering our feet if you took your, I mean, it was that bad. I do remember that. It was a long time ago, but I remember that about that vacation. You say, what else? I don't know. Who cares? I just remember those things. This summer, the girls and I, my daughter and my wife, we went to Maine for vacation. And it was a neat experience. We had never been in the Northeast before. It was my first time to the New England states, so we were excited about it. We went up to a place called Rockland. Well, we stayed in Augusta, Maine, but we visited a place called Rockland, Maine. We went 7/8 of a mile out on a breakwater wall that's all made out of granite and stuff. It's amazing. It was built in the late 1800s, and it's unbelievable. There's a huge lighthouse down at the end of this thing, and it's 7/8 of a mile long out into the bay. And you walk all the way out there, but it's just giant pieces of rock, and it's about twice the width of this platform all the way out. But there's big giant boulders that weigh about a ton and a half, 2 tons each, and they're stacked one on top of another. And at high tide, literally, high tide will cover those things all the way up, and you can't see them. And it's just really cool walking out there, and we got to go out there. By the way, that's the very city where, if you remember, back in April, we helped start a church in that city. And so we were there. We saw the hotel where the church was started. And so we were there on that Sunday afternoon that we were there. I was preaching for Brother Bill Seavey that week once. But on that Sunday afternoon, they were ordaining the man that started that church in Rockland. We went up there, and they had a lobster dinner. Amen. I said it just like they did. It was funny. Brother Seavey's out there. He said, all right, come get your lobster. The butter's over here. I said, did you say butter or Buddha? He said, hey. That wasn't funny to the people in Maine. I thought it was ridiculously funny. But they didn't think it was as funny as I did. They have a sport up there that I had never seen before. I like going bowling when I'm on vacation just for fun. In Maine, they have a different kind of bowling. They have what they call candlepin bowling. How many of you have ever heard of candle? Okay, a couple of you have. It's bowling, but the pins are only that big around, and they give you a ball about the size of a softball to use. It'd be like duck pin bowling around here, except the pins are the right height and only that big around. It's tough. Let me tell you, it's fun, but it's tough. So we did that while we were up there. But one thing about vacation I like to go visit, but I'm always glad to get home. I don't know about you. I don't want to live on vacation. Vacation is temporary. Home is permanent. The average Christian goes on vacation with God's love. They do not make God's love their home. They visit it, but they don't choose to stay there. God says in 1 John chapter 4 that we are to dwell in his love. Folks, that word dwell means to live or to abide. Your dwelling place is your house. Why is it that we Christians go on vacation and say, okay, God, I love you, I love you, I love you. All right, I'm going back to where I live now. God says, I'll accept your vacation, but you're going to be happier if you live with me. You'll be happier if you would dwell in my love. You see, God wants us to dwell with him, and you can live that way. I'm going to give you about, four things today, maybe five, that I want to teach you about what does it mean or how do you dwell in God's love. I called the sermon today, Dwell, Don't Just Vacation. Dwell, Don't Just Vacation. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18, there is now no fear in love. Can I tell you something? People are afraid of God. People are afraid of him. That's why they want to deny he's there. That's why the world wants to get away from him, because they're afraid of him. Can I tell you why? Because they don't dwell in his love. God's love is perfect. And that word perfect does not only mean sinless. Okay, we hear the word perfect, we think sinless. No, the word perfect means complete, means all of it's there. That hand is a perfect hand. Now, it's got broken, or has had broken bones in it, but it's got five fingers. Each finger's got three joints except the thumb, which is supposed to have two and has two. All of the parts are still there. Brother Taylor's got a finger that got ripped off one of his hands. He doesn't have a perfect hand. He got it stuck up in his nose too far, and they had to break it to get it out of there. But, that's a perfect or a complete hand. Can I tell you something? God's love is complete. It's perfect. And God says when you have perfect love or complete love, there is no fear. Let me try to illustrate it. You ready, Brother Logue? Joel, you ready? I'm going to have you come up here and help the preacher for a second. Come on up here for a minute. Brother Logue, I'm going to have you stand down there for a minute. Come on up here, buddy. This is my buddy. Can you tell he's ornery? He takes after his mother. All right, Joel, come on up here. Oh, good night. What's your dad feeding you? Stand up here for a minute. Man, that's a long ways up there, isn't it? Brother Logue, why don't you move that speaker? Now, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. You ready for me to catch you? You think daddy will catch you if you jump? Maybe. Better have Melissa come up here. No. All right. Your daddy loves you, doesn't he? All right. Now you jump into your daddy's arms. You ready? Go ahead. One, two, three, jump. Got it. All right. Give him a hand. All right. Thank you. Now, if I'd had Timothy come up here and have him jump, you think he's going to jump? Mm-mm. I know he wouldn't do it if Andrew was there. Say, why? Because they don't love him as much as daddy does. They don't love him as much as mama does. But that perfect love casts out the fear. Can I tell you something? There's nothing to be afraid of in getting close to God. Nothing at all. A child who is afraid of storms has to get through that fear. And everybody fears something. But can I tell you something? I've helped Oh, I have had more than one of my children that at one point in time were afraid of storms. Say, what do you do? Sometimes they pick them up, carry them out in the middle of the storm, lightning flashing and thunder banging around and wind blowing and rain, and say, look, it's not hurting you. You don't have to get afraid. When I get afraid, it's time to be afraid. Till then, forget it. And they'll always look to me when it starts thundering or lightning. I'm just sitting there like nothing's going on. And they start calming down. You know why? Because Daddy's not afraid. Now, if Dad gets nervous, it's time to take cover in a hurry. Amen. But as long as Dad's not worried, why worry about it? Do you know that the very God that created everything that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, He wants what's best for you? Why would God create all this just to be mean to us? That doesn't make sense to me. Why do we get this impression that God did this, and if I don't walk exactly like He wants, He's going to thump me in the head? That's not love. God loves you, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Some of you need to learn to trust God's love and dwell in Him. You've had those times where you needed Him most, and you loved on Him, and He loved back, and you remember those times, but why is it just a vacation memory, and it's not a place you live? Why is it that it's just occasionally and not where you continually dwell? I remember, good night, been about 16, almost 17 years ago, I started on staff working for Dr. Jack Hiles. I was 29 years old and scared to death. Say why? Man, I had met him, I had shaken his hand, I'd been in his office a couple times before, but now I got to work for him. Here I am, our church runs 23, 24, 25,000 people every Sunday, 7,000 seat auditorium, world's largest Sunday school, two grade schools, two junior highs, two high schools, and a college, and I'm on staff there. You talk about big shoes. I was in them. I was walking and never finding the end of the shoe. It never moved. I remember the first Saturday night men's staff meeting. We had men's Saturday night staff meeting. Started at about 6 or 7 o'clock on Saturday nights, second, fourth Saturday night every month. And I remember going in there the first time thinking, I'm going into a room with Dr. Jack Hiles and about 12 other men, and everybody that's, I'll use the word in my profession, I hate using it that way, would love to be in that room, and I'm trying to figure a way to get out of it. What in the world do I have doing going into that room? Every man in there was my teacher. Every man in that room taught me at college. And now I have to walk in to a little bit of a degree. They're equal. Now, I wasn't, but I was doing that. I got in the room, and Brother Hiles, he's telling jokes and getting everybody kind of calmed down a little bit. He prayed, we got started, and he said, by the way, Craig, this is your first time here, isn't it? Yes, sir. He said, you look nervous. I couldn't even talk. It was just shake the head, you know. I learned a long time ago, you don't open your mouth, he doesn't fire back as fast. Amen, Brother Hawkins? He said, what you nervous for, Craig? I said, oh, I don't know. He said, we're all here pulling for you. He said, we love you. Whew. Man, to hear those words. Say, what'd you do? Not a thing. Just sat there and watched. And talked for about the first 2 months I was there. Say, why? I watched him talk to other people. I wasn't going to take that abuse. Learn from their mistakes, amen? Now, wait a minute. When I realized Brother Hiles loved me, it was okay. When I realized I wasn't there to make a name and I had to build myself, he loved me no matter what, it was okay. Can I tell you something? God made you just like you are. God made your personality just like it is. And He needs your personality to complete Him. He made it to fulfill a need in his life, not yours. God made you to fellowship with him exactly as you are. I like teasing. You know what? I tell God jokes because I think he laughs. I like cutting up. Can I tell you why? Because I think God enjoys it. There's those of you that, well, that's irreverent. Okay, then don't do it. But talk to God on your level. I'm not afraid to tell people I love them. I'm not afraid to look at some of you men and say, Brother Jerry, I love you. Brother Ed, I love you. Brother Gus, I love you. Brother Jeff, I love you. Brother Taylor and Brother Ecker, I love you. Brother Dan, I love you. And Brother Tom, got to work on it, but I love you. No, I'm teasing. Yeah, buddy. I'm not afraid to look at Brother Jimmy and look at Brother Jimmy and say, Brother Jimmy, I love you. There's nothing sissy about that. Nothing. I'm not afraid of that. I decided when I worked with Dr. Jack Hiles, I realized I was working in his last years of life. I knew that. I knew that in the natural progression of time, I would be hitting the end of his ministry. When I went to work for him, he was 69 years old. 5 years later, he was in heaven. I decided that there would not be a day that I ever saw him or a time that I ever saw him, no matter how many times I saw him, that the last words he would ever hear these lips say is, Preacher, I love you. On the Friday morning that he went to the hospital after having had his heart attack, I was in his office. He asked me to pick his briefcase up and put it on the desk for him. He said, My back hurts. Could you do that for me, Craig? I said, I'd love to. Talk to him for a moment. As I turned to leave, I said, Preacher, I love you. He said, I love you too, Craig. Those are the last words we ever spoke to one another. Can I tell you something? I'm glad the last words Dr. Jack Hiles ever heard me say were, Preacher, I love you. I am so glad. I wasn't looking forward to him going to heaven. But I'm glad I was able to keep my promise that the last words he heard were, I love you. My mom and dad will tell you, I don't leave their presence or get done talking to them on the telephone without saying, I love you. My wife, my daughter will tell you the same thing. Say why? I want the last words ever heard out of this mouth to be, I love you, not I hate you. That's just the way I live. I got up early this morning. I got up real early this morning. Staggered to the bathroom. Flipped the light on and went, God, I love you. I only had one eye open, but I got it out. Say why? Because that hurts. I want him to hear that. Number two. How do you dwell in God's love? Number one, don't live in fear of it. Number two, the Bible says in verse 13, Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his Spirit. Constantly yield to the Holy Spirit. We've let the healers, feelers, and squealers and the Pentecostals and the charismaniacs steal the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and pervert it. The Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit is a real part of God. Now listen to this statement very carefully. You don't get filled with the Spirit and yield to him one time and have it the rest of your life. Got it? It is a constant process. If you get filled and you use it up, you get filled, you use it. You get filled, you use it. You get filled, you use it. It's just like your cup of lemonade. Well, let's do better than that. It's your coffee cup. Just because you fill it one time and drain it doesn't mean you're filled with coffee the rest of your life. You got to keep filling that thing up, amen? And the Holy Spirit is the same way. Once it starts going down, you got to fill it up again. Once it goes down, you got to fill it up again. Once it goes down, you got to fill it up again. That means it is a constant process of yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you? By the way, God said, Hereby you know that you dwell in him when you let the Holy Spirit control your life. There are times you have to stop before you react and yield to the Holy Spirit. There are times when, by the way, the Holy Spirit wants to help you, but he won't force himself on you. I know you're going to laugh at this, but it's okay. I'm not a bold person by nature. I'm not. Do you know what my idea of the perfect life is? Put me on the backside of the mountain, give me a gun, unlimited bullets, and a good chainsaw. I'll build a house, fireplace, and live out there with my wife and I for the rest of our life and nobody around, and I could be happy. I really could. Now, that's the ideal life to me. You know, people scare me. But I have to work with people. God called me. You're looking at a guy that used to fail oral book reports because he wouldn't get up in front of the class and give them. Now, I know you don't believe that now. Now you're saying, how come you keep doing it? But can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit does not want to push himself on anybody. And he won't. He's waiting for you to invite him. I remember Brother Hiles telling the story. He and Dr. John R. Rice used to travel a lot for about 22 years. They traveled together. And every once in a while, they would go somewhere, and there would be a golf course, nine-hole or a par-3 golf course attached to the hotel. Dr. Rice used to love to golf. So did Brother Hiles. This is back many, many, many years ago. He said, I decided I was going to take Dr. Rice nine-hole golfing. He said, we got there, and he said, Dr. Rice, let's go play golf. He said, oh, no, I can't go. He said, oh, yeah, you can. He said, no, I got too much work for the sword to do. He said, now, Brother Rice, come on. I've been playing this for a long time. He said, let's go. All right. And he reached in his pocket, and three golf balls rolled out of Dr. Rice's pockets. He was ready to go. He just wanted to be begged to go. Can I tell you something? That's the way the Holy Spirit is. He doesn't want to force himself on anybody. By the way, he's there to help you talk to God. Can I tell you why some of you don't enjoy prayer? Because you don't know the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as we talk to the Holy Spirit, he communicates our heart and our desire to the Father for us. Amen. Some of you don't have more answers to prayer because you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not communicating with God as much because you're not communicating with him. And let me just go ahead and blast the snot out of the rest of the charismaniacs here. The Holy Spirit wasn't given just for you. Now listen to this statement. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this, so hang on, not today, but at another time. The Holy Spirit was given for you to be the Holy Spirit to other people. He is there as a comforter, but he is to give you the ability to comfort others. He is there to lead you so that you can lead others. He's there to direct you so that you can direct others. It's not get up and scream and holler in some Suzuki, Yamaha, Honda language and look at what I've got. It's you've got it to help somebody else. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll only do that in direct relation to that book, though. If you tell me the Holy Spirit's telling you to go do something sinful, I'll look at you square in the face and say, you're listening to the wrong spirit. Amen. He will never go contrary to the Word of God because he is God. So the Holy Spirit will work in direct relation with the Word of God. That means you've got to be in your Bible to know the Holy Spirit. Boy, that's good stuff. So, perfect love, dwelling in perfect love, then constantly yield to the Holy Spirit, then, number 3, verse number 14, I love this, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Testify of God's goodness. Can I tell you something? God is good. Amen. Let me say it again. God is good. Amen. Say, well, I just don't understand all the time. I don't care what you understand. God is good. Why don't we talk to God about all we do have and not worry as much about what we don't have? I tell preachers this all the time. Last week, a preacher friend of mine, I called him first part of the week, and he's struggling. He said, well, I only had X number of people. I thought, before I made the phone call, I thought, if he gives me that line again, I'm going to come unscrewed. Brother Hawkins, I was ready for him. Oh, we only had 44 people last week, Brother Bush. I said, well, glory. He said, what are you talking about? I said, that's 44 the devil didn't have last week. What are you complaining about? I said, maybe if you'd get excited about the 44 you'd have, they'd go out and get somebody else. You have 45 next week. He said, will you quit preaching to me? I said, why don't you testify of the good things, my brother? Can I tell you something? It's time for us to start talking to God about the good things he does for us. How about the fact that you got up this morning? How about the fact that you're able to be in church? Fact that we gorged ourselves with food today, amen? Some of you put a little more in the pie hole than others, but that's okay. There was more biscuits and gravy on this property than Cracker Barrel this morning. Good grief. I think I tried all of them. But let's face it, we've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got the family we still have. And by the way, some of you have family that has gone on before, but guess what? Some of them are in a real good place right now. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you told everybody else how good God is? Went into Sheets this morning, got some coffee. This lady was standing there. She saw me come in. I had this suit on. I walked in smiling, whistling. She just looked at me. I went over, got a cup of coffee. She said, have you already been here once? I said, no, ma'am, first cup of the day. She said, and you're smiling like that without coffee? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher. It's Sunday morning. I said, it's work day. God's people are going to fill God's house, and I cannot wait. Amen. She said, what church? I told her. She said, I'm not Baptist, but if I had a preacher like that, I might want to go to church. I said, I got a good one for you. Can I tell you something? I don't worry about it. You say, you talk like that in public? They ought to be the ones intimidated, not us. Man, there's enough Christians out there that look like they've been weaned on dill pickle juice. Why should we act like that? I'm a Christian. Well, tell your face. I'm smiling. Well, tell your face. Nobody else knows it. Good night. Some of you need to do something for God so you have something good to talk about. I found out the more I do for God, the more I've got to talk about. Y'all were rejoicing over a nursing home I went to yesterday. The little old lady sitting right over here on my left. My husband's a Baptist preacher. He preaches just like that. I like you. That blessed my heart. One of the workers came up to Brother York after I left. And said, we'd like him to come here and pastor our people. Whew, that blessed my heart. I don't know about you. What an honor. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm having fun. And the more I do, the more fun I have. And the more fun I have, the more things I have to tell God about. And the more things I have to tell God about, the more he says, he's going to thank me for that. He's going to tell others, let's give him more to do because we're going to get more praise out of this thing. Some of you have tried it, it worked, and then it didn't work again because you quit doing what you did to get it. It's time to tell of God's goodness. That means when we sing, some of y'all ought to sing to God. Now, I know you sound like a wash bucket that somebody's been beating with a metal hammer, but let her fly. That's called testifying, amen? God said make a joyful noise.
That's right.
Now, we're hoping it's a little bit more musically able if you're up here doing a special. But, you know what? I thank God for those two young ladies that got up here and sang today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I got to read my Bible just so I don't get up and run around this auditorium and shout. You say, why? Because it's good stuff. Some of you need to learn to praise God while the song's going on. You say, well, I'm just not emotional. I've watched you watch ball games before. Don't tell me that. You just choose what you use your emotion for. I'm going to choose to use it for God. You say, well, I just don't feel it. Well, do it till you do, and then you'll do it because you do. I didn't feel like getting up this morning. Guess what? I did. Now I'm glad I'm up. Two cups of coffee later, and you're ready for me to go back down. Yeah, just two. And no, they weren't that big, Brother Hawkins. Can I tell you something? I am so tired of Christians walking around depressed. If I hear one more Baptist preacher talk about being depressed, I'm going to slap him upside the head in Jesus' name. I don't understand it. I was talking to one of those yard birds not long ago. I had to take some time off because I was just depressed. I said, no, you're not. You're backslidden. He said, what? I said, you're backslidden. I said, the Holy Spirit's never been depressed. What you're telling me is you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, I live with bad news. I do. But you know what? I'm not depressed. Mrs. Schenneberger, your daddy's walking streets of gold right now. He took his last breath here and struggled for each one of them. But guess what? When that last one went out, he went, wow. No more pain. And I never smelled air like that before. Say, what did he do? He jumped up and down, clacked his heels, and started running all over heaven. Hey, I'll take that any day. Huh. Tell everybody how good God is. Some of you are intimidated by lost people. They ought to be the ones looking at you saying, don't get around close to him. Don't get too close to him. He's one of those wackos. Put me on the... I probably ought not say that. Yeah. The government has now said that evangelical Christians are just like terrorists in Al-Qaeda. They put us on a list of extremists. Well, put me at the top of the list. When Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell are at their top, I'm so far radical, it's not even funny. Folks... testify of how good God is. Maybe if you kept telling him how good he is, you might find some other good things. Amen. Okay, number four. Believe God when the hard times come. Amen. Yes. Not if, when. God does not change because of your circumstances. Did you hear that statement? God does not change because of your circumstances. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God. I change not. Those are his words, not mine. That means when it's going good, God's good. That means when it's going bad, God's still good. That means when I'm on top, God's good. That means when I can... walk under the door when it's closed, God's still good. Yes, see, so many of you look at the circumstance to try to figure out if God's good or not. No, God is good, period. Can I tell you something? Whether you have a problem or not does not dictate whether God loves you. Oh, a few years ago, when my oldest graduated from high school, my in-laws were in town. They were in my house. We were going out to do a graduation party the day after, which happened to be my birthday. I don't even know how many years ago that was. It must have been 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. My wife and I, we were going out. We were taking the last of the things out to the car. She had a big, giant blue bowl full of these garlic pretzels that she makes. Oh, my soul. You eat them once and everybody stays away from you for 3 days, but they are great to eat, let me tell you. I mean, they're incredible. And she stepped out of the house, has this bowl of pretzels in her hands. She takes a step off the step, steps down, twists her ankle, breaks her ankle, and throws the pretzels everywhere. And I mean, she went down hard. So I said, go ahead, everybody else go. My in-laws took, I think, Jeff and Mindy there, and I said, we'll try to catch up later. And I literally had to carry my wife into the house. I started looking at her ankle. I said, we're going to the emergency room. I think you broke it. And she did. We spent my birthday and graduation party at the hospital. Can I tell you what? Praise God. I didn't have to spend it with my in-laws. No. You know, that's not true, because I took my mother-in-law with me to the hospital with my wife, just so you know. I was a good son-in-law, amen? Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Can I tell you something? Some of you would look at that and say, well, I wonder what wrong I did. Wonder what God's getting me for. I didn't stop loving my wife because she broke her ankle. Why do you think when something goes wrong that people don't love you? That's time for us to run to your aid and prove we love you. That's opportunity for us to show our love. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes, folks, why is it that when something goes wrong, you want to blame God instead of thanking him for loving you? Maybe he's letting you go through a struggle to prove his love. He's not punishing you. I'm not saying every once in a while that you don't need slapped upside the head and God's not afraid to do it. But just because you got a flat tire doesn't mean God's mad at you. It means you drove on the wrong side of the road and picked up a nail, amen? And how in the world do nails get out in that part of the road anyway? I haven't figured that out yet. Can I tell you something? Circumstances don't decide whether God's good. Circumstances don't change God's love. Can I tell you something? The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Do you know that lost people have problems too? It must have been well over 20 years ago. I had to take really, really, really bad news to a family. I was just coming back from there, and I was driving through, and I thought, you know, there's people in this neighborhood driving by. They see a little activity here, and they have no idea what's going on behind that door. They don't understand the heartache and the grief and the pain that that family is facing right now. Brother Ed, I stopped my car. Matter of fact, I was in Goose Creek, South Carolina. I stopped my car in the middle of that neighborhood, Brother Hawkins. And I said, and I don't know what's going on behind that door, and that door, and that door, and that door, and that door. I wonder who else has a heartache today. I don't look at people's houses and just see a house. I look behind those houses to realize behind every one of those doors is a lot of people that are hurting and in need. And God broke my heart that day. He really did. There's nothing like walking into a hospital, as I've done too many times. There lay someone that's hurting and someone that's not well. Remember, my wife and I walked in one night, and a little 22, 23-year-old bride, her husband, was in a car wreck and was killed. I said she walked out of her house that day not knowing, as she walked out of a hospital a little later, she'd be a widow. I watched her reach down and look at her wedding bands and realize she's a young lady and she's a widow. I don't know about you, that breaks my heart. I've had to go through that way too many times. But you know what? God doesn't change. He still loves. Just because you face a heartache doesn't mean God's changed anything. So when those hard times come, you've got to believe God loves you. You know, God doesn't hate you because you have a problem. Maybe he's tired of you just coming on vacation. Maybe he just wants you to come live and dwell with his love. I don't know about you. This whole world's nasty. The old world is vindictive and hateful, spiteful, mean, abusive. Man, it's wonderful living over here with God. There's no bitterness. There's no spite, no hatred. Oh, there's problems, but you know what? He loves me. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's all right. Because they're going to come anyway because I'm a sinner. I don't know about you. I don't want to live back here. I want to live all the way over here. And by the way, watch this. Here's the average Christian. I'll live here. I'll vacate over here for a little while. And then I'm going to go back here. And then I'm going to get so depressed, I got to come back here and get charged back up. And I'll come back here and visit God. And hi, how are you? Good to see you again. Okay, we did the loopy loop and the twirly twirl. Let's go back here. I'm just going to make this my residence. I want to go back into the world. By the way, what's back there that's worth going to anyway? The drugs? The alcohol? The immorality, the pain, the bitterness, the hatred, the cancers because of smoking. That's worth going back to? I don't know about you. Phew, I'm going to live over here. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to face pain over here. But guess what? You're closer to him. You don't have to go on vacation to do it. You're living there with him. That doesn't mean Christians have no problems. That's a charismatic philosophy that once you get Jesus, all your problems go away. They killed Jesus. They chased him down. If the Son of God couldn't live on the face of the earth without problems, guess what, baby? You ain't got a chance. You don't have a chance. But can I tell you something? If you're living over here, the devil's going to have a harder time getting to you. Remember the story of Job? Devil went to God and said, God, how about Job? You let me have him. Oh, he's perfect. He's upright. Entire, wanting nothing. He said, you let him skin for skin, all the man hath. He'll give his life. He said, go ahead. Everything but his life, you can take it. He let the devil kill Job's children. Destroyed his business, took his wealth, even took the loyalty of his wife. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In all this, Job charged not God foolishly. Job decided he'd live with God, not just go on vacation. Job's wife was on vacation with God. That's okay. God got her back. She had to have 10 more kids. God said, nah, 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 nah. Just when you thought you was done, here comes 10 more of those puppies, amen. Can I tell you something? God's good. God loves you. God doesn't want you to face it alone. God doesn't want you to fear, and God's given you the Holy Spirit to help you so that you could help others. How about we decide we'll dwell in God's love and not just vacation there? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If not, you're in need of the Holy Spirit to reborn your spirit. Maybe you just need to come here and kneel at an altar and recommit yourself. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you'd like to join our church. We sure would love to have you officially join our church. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you would like to join us, now we're an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. If you've not been saved, we'd like you to come. If you need to be baptized, we can take care of that today. Whatever the need, maybe you need to just decide you're going to quit going on vacation with God and you're going to dwell with him.